Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Alrighty, hour number three. It is our radio program. If you don't know it by now, it's the Zach Gelb Show. And if you haven't been made aware by now, it's the Infinity Sports Network. I'm thinking about teams under pressure this year. And I wanted to make a list here. Top five teams under the most pressure entering this season. I'm going to go from five to one. In at number five, I actually think it's the Chicago Bears. The Bears have expectations this year. And it's not just to be, it's not just to be bad. It's to be good. And I know they're in a tricky division. Lions, Super Bowl contender. Packers were in the divisional round a year ago. The Vikings, they got offensive players. Defensively, they improved last year. But with it looking like Sam Darnold's going to start, and then inevitably they'll go to J.J. McCarthy. Whenever that's going to happen and that transition happens, that makes me out on the Minnesota Vikings. But I look at Chicago. They got Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, D.J. Moore. You got Cole Kmet. You have enough at the running back position and a defense with Matt Eberflus that's got some talent on it, starting with Jalen Johnson in the back end. So I look at this Bears team, and recent history matters. Like, you look at the Texans, they went from the bottom to a playoff team in a snap of a finger because they had the quarterback that uplifted the entire franchise. And did the Texans really have great players on the offensive side of the ball? Like, Tank Dell is good, but no one's looking at him last year as a number one wide receiver to start the year. Nico Collins, I was a fan of his, but no one's looking at him as a number one wide receiver. So, you know, Devin Motor Singletary, solid running back, but he had some consistency issues. Like, he was inconsistent in Buffalo. So you take a glance in terms of the Bears and what Caleb Williams is walking into. It's an infinitely better situation than what Stroud was walking into last year. And if you would have told me before last season, like this time last year, who's the quarterback that you think will be better in the pros? Is it Williams or is it Stroud? Most people would say Caleb Williams. So I look at the Bears. I'm not saying win the division. I'm not saying go win 11, 12 games. But it seems like the ceiling for Chicago this year is 10. But this was a team last year that won 7 games and they got better this year. So just repeating what you did last year isn't good enough. 8 and 9 would even feel disappointing. Like, this should be a 9 or a 10 win team. So I look at the Bears as having expectations and having pressure on them entering this year. And you know what? there's a lot of times when a coach gets hired and he's not a household name, people trash the hire, and I've done it, trust me. So I don't want to be hypocritical here. I'll tell you when I'm about to say something that sounds hypocritical, and if I'd done it as well, you know, I'll be the first one to admit it. Did anyone ever think Matt Eberflus was going to end up being a good hire? Now, he's still got to prove it. But year one, they were 3-14. Last year, they improved. They were 7-10. And you know what I say about teams that coaches that take over basically nothing? Year one's a wash. Year two, get better. Year three, go make the playoffs. That's the plan that you outline. Eberflus doesn't make the playoffs. I'm not saying he's definitely out of a job, but you can't walk away from this feeling of the season feeling that you don't have the right head coach. And in Hard Knocks last night, they revealed Eberflus changed the look a little bit. And he used to be clean shaven, now has a beard. They have a barber in the Bears facility, and he's getting his hair cut. That was the oohs and the ahs about Hard Knocks. Stu, I don't know about you. We should get a barber around here. We have a Dunkin' Donuts coffee lounge. We should strike some sponsorship deal with the barber. Could you imagine we just had a barber on call and we could get our hair cut whenever we wanted? That would be awesome.
Great. That'd be very useful. Yeah, I'd love that.
The only problem here, there is usually a hygiene issue here. So you would think it's on the responsibility of the barber to clean up his space. I could see the barber not doing that. And then you just have a room full of hair. And that would be nasty. Like, there are some nasty things. And this is a much better office than where this company was before they moved here in Kaufman Astoria Studios, which was like rat infested. And it was disgusting. You know, Child Protective Services were almost called to my dad when he would take me to work with the lack of cleanliness that was around that place. But I could see that becoming a very dirty situation if we did get a barber here, if the barber did not clean up after himself.
Yeah, I agree. Especially on the weekend, like, it would not be good.
Yeah. I don't think they would have the barber in on the weekends. I think it would just be a Monday through Friday.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be my guess. Anyway, Bears are under pressure this year. They're in at number five. Number four, it's the Dallas Cowboys. They probably are on most national host lists higher up. The three that I have in front of them, I actually have expectations, though, for those teams. The Cowboys, it's almost like the boy who cries wolf at this point. Like, even if they are sitting there and they're looking like they're going to be really great, they're never great. The last 3 years, 12 wins, 12 wins, 12 wins. Back to back to back, belly to belly to belly, 12-win seasons. What it resulted, 1 year they got to the divisional round. 1 year. The other two, they lost in the first round to the 49ers, and last year they got dismantled by the Green Bay Packers. And as I just said to Bart, I look at the Dallas Cowboys, they got worse this past offseason. After Jerry Jones said they were all in, you know, I was going to say rest in peace, Skip Bayless. Like, he didn't actually pass away, but now he's out of a job at Fox. And he tweeted out, Jerry Jones, all in, pause, 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 comma, 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 my ass. The importance of the comma. But they said they were going to be all in. And this past year, you look at Dallas and what they did this offseason, they were not all in. It's like they were all out. And now you got a lot of guys that aren't paid for the future, and they're starting to wonder what their status is with the organization. I think Dallas, the farthest I'm willing to go with the Cowboys this year, they're not getting to a Super Bowl. They're not getting to an NFC Championship game. I don't even think they win this division this year. I don't even consider that a possibility. Like, I would be stunned if the Eagles don't win the division this year. I think the ceiling for the Cowboys is wild card team. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be terrible, but I think they're going to be 8-9, 9-8. I don't see this team being a double-digit win team this year. In at number three, this is a team that has expectations. This is a team that has a well-rounded team, but there's a chemistry issue. And that chemistry issue was highlighted today. It was more reiterated today by the Tim McManus article by the ESPN. Because in that article, it highlights the problems going back to last year between Nick Sirianni and also Jalen Hurts, and how Sirianni's taking a more hands-off approach with the offense. Kellen Moore, who's a little bit overrated, is now running that offense. And you have a issue between Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And in the article, right, it asked them, it was right after, I think at the end of minicamp, it said, and it had to do with, you know, the changes and what does that say about Nick Sirianni? And that was asked to Jalen Hurts, which is like an easy question to respond. The question was, what have you noticed about Nick being open-minded to change up the offense like he has? What does that say about him? And that was at the final day of minicamp in early June. Hurts responded, he said, followed by a pause and a short closed-mouth laugh. I mean, that's great. It's a great question. I don't know that I know the answer to it. So there's something there. They're going to pretend like nothing's there, like how the Bills pretended Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs had no problem last year, right? In reality, we know there's a problem, and Stephon Diggs is no longer on the team now. The Eagles the other day, right, had Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. When Kay Adams is there, oh, they're driving around in a golf cart, and everything's all right. Like, come on. They're putting on a front. And there's a chemistry problem in the Eagles locker room. And the players say they love Nick, but they love Nick because they walk all over Nick. And what does Nick Sirianni do? He's not calling the plays. He's handing over the offense to Kellen Moore. His issues with the quarterback. Now, to his credit, he's been to the playoffs 3 straight years. All 3 years on the job. He's been to a Super Bowl. But with how last year ended, with them going 10-1 to start the year and having one lousy win down the stretch, Belichick was available. Harbaugh was available. Mike Vrabel was available. They elected to keep Nick Sirianni. And I fear that derails their season. So there is pressure on the Eagles this year with the roster that has Super Bowl expectations. But do you have the right coach to win the Super Bowl? Here was Jalen Hurts, by the way. Little back and forth about this ESPN report that came out today. And it seemed like he was blown away by the timing of this report.
What was the key piece of advice that Wink gave you that kind of you could take into the season?
I'm curious to see where is this coming from randomly. This Wink stuff.
There was a report from ESPN this morning that said you contacted him
before the Bucs game.
Some so long ago. Why is that relevant now?
I didn't write it.
First we heard it
out today.
Yeah.
Who wrote it?
I wrote it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why is that relevant now?
Why is it relevant?
Yeah.
I'm trying to give proper context for what happened last season, so we have a better understanding of where we are now.
Okay. Well, I think for certain things, you know, I appreciate what you guys do and everything you guys bring, the attention and the, sometimes the understanding. I think sometimes people are only able to know what they understand. Sometimes people don't know what they don't know. But in that regard, you know, I think, you know, where we are is you have reports and you have rumors and then you have reality. And, you know, we're in reality right now. And we got different people doing different things, and we have different responsibilities in that natural nature, but ultimately we're just attacking it day by day. But my natural nature is to block out the external factors.
I don't know, Stu. I hear that. He's clearly annoyed that this is getting rehashed, but he didn't do a good job trying to dispel the issue. It'd be like if you had an issue and you were like, oh, why is that coming out today? And then, oh yeah, well, there's fact and there's fiction. And a lot of what comes out isn't the projection of reality. Like, you never really said that it isn't true. You're just kind of chastising the reporter that put it out there.
Yeah, if there was an issue, he would just answer the question and dispel kind of anything that would be problematic, if you will.
Now, let me speak from experience. Because there's a narrative today that the Eagles reporters are just making things up. I just got a tweet, and it's one tweet. Fun fact, it's from ITSS. K-Y-L-O. So, however I'm supposed to say that. It's Glow, maybe? It's just random Twitter account. Responding to one of my videos that I just put out about the Eagles. Fun fact, Eagles reporter make lies and exaggerate things. Been that way ever since forever. We have crazy fans and even crazier media. I'm not saying everything that gets reported is correct. But I remember being in Philadelphia, hosting on Philadelphia radio, when a guy by the name of it's either Joe Santoliquito or Joel Santoliquito. He had this piece all about Carson Wentz. And there was this radio guy by the name of Zach Gelb that shredded the report. This is when I used to believe in Carson Wentz. I shredded the report. And I'm like, this guy barely is even around the team. How does he have all these sources? Almost everything he said in that article ended up being right. I don't think there's anything that's inaccurate about this article today. I don't think there's anything inaccurate about this article. But there's this notion that, oh, the media's lying, the media's exaggerating thing. I actually had, I would say, a prominent NFL analyst text me today. And he was reading the story, and he texted me because he knows I'm connected in Philadelphia, right? And I work there. And, you know, it's a friend of mine. And he said, why do people say the Philadelphia media is spreading fake stuff? And I said, are you talking about the Sirianni article that just dropped? I haven't read it yet. About to. Guy said, yeah. So then I read it, and I wrote back, I just read it. Don't see what could be fake. I think it was clear Hurts and Sirianni weren't on the same page last year, and now Sirianni is taking a more hands-off approach and trusting more to deal with Hurts. Seems fair to me in the reporting. And then the guy said, yeah, you're right. And then I responded back, I guess some may be upset with the timing of it. This is before I even heard the Hurts audio. Because it was last year, but the article was more so how they are fixing last year this year. I would say Nick has to make the NFC Championship game this year and improve his relationship with Jalen to keep his job. Player will win this battle with this contract 10 times out of 10. He said, yeah, it's 100% accurate and fair. You know, that's what I think the situation is here. And you know what's it's concerning to me, this, the way that Jalen handled it today. And the reason why I say that's concerning is if you can't understand that what happened last year is still a story this year until you fix it, then, dude, what are we doing? And I think Jalen's poised to have a big year, but you know if it doesn't end with you back in the Super Bowl, people are going to say, not a success. I think they just have to make the NFC Championship game for Sirianni to keep his job. But not only do you have to win to some extent, the coach has to be on the same page as the quarterback. Because if they're not, and if they can't find the way to still be amicable, that contract with Hurts is going to win out over Sirianni. Because they have the talent to win a Super Bowl. So I think there's a lot of pressure on the Eagles. They're in at 3. So Bears 5, Cowboys 4, Eagles 3. In at number 2, it's the Niners. See, at least the Eagles, they won a Super Bowl a few years ago. As Bart pointed out, 49ers haven't won a Super Bowl in a long time. And they've been close. They've been up twice against the Chiefs by 10. Haven't slammed the door shut. Brandon Ayuk may or may not be there. We'll see. But even if he's not, they still have a Super Bowl team. You don't know how many more chances you're going to get. People think, oh, the Niners have this big open window. That window could slam shut real quickly. And then in at number 1, the team with the most pressure on them, it's the Jets. Because we get to find pressure in many ways. Like, some of these teams, they have pressure to win. But if they don't win, their coach won't lose his job. Some of these teams, hey, if you don't win, your coach is going to lose his job. The Jets this year, Robert Saleh is coaching for his job. And Aaron Rodgers, we got to see if you could bounce back from the Achilles injury. And the Jets, they have to make the playoffs. They don't make the playoffs this year with all the hype around them and all the talking points about them. Man, this is them back-to-back years. And last year, given pass because the injury just sucks. But it then turns into a circus and it allows a Jet fan to say, hey, same old Jets. So those are my 5 teams entering this year under the most pressure in the NFL. 5 Bears, 4 Cowboys, 3 Eagles, 2 49ers, and the JTS Jets in at 1. Stu, any other teams you want to throw into the conversation?
Yeah, I'll give you one in each conference.
Okay.
AFC, I will give you the Dolphins.
It's going.
The fact you just pay Tua, you just pay Tyreek, you just paid Waddle. Again, I don't know if McDaniel would be on the hot seat or fired if they don't make the playoffs. Or
Stephen Ross is a wild card. He's only getting older.
Correct.
But I think they would have to really bleep the bed to.
They'd have to be really bad. But I just think this team has so much potential. The potential's kind of, you know, receivers don't age as well. So, you know, Tyreek gets older, Waddle gets older. It's going to be a little tough. But I don't know. I just think the Dolphins are a team that you kind of want to see that next step, you know, winning a playoff game, getting far in the conference, maybe to the conference championship game this year.
So I do a weekly hit, as you guys know, with WQAM in Miami. And they're like kind of dubbing me as a Dolphins hater, even though I picked them to win the division last year, how quickly they forget. But with my guys Hockman and Crowder and Alejandro Solana. And they are saying I'm a Dolphins hater because I just don't think Tua is a great quarterback. I just think he's good. And I picked the Dolphins to finish third in the division this year. And they said, well, how many rosters are better than the Dolphins? I'm like, not a lot. But I go, last year they were perceived to be the team that was going to win the division, and Buffalo had a bunch of problems. They couldn't get the job done. They got a lot of talent. You're right on that. You got Mostert. You got Waddle. You got Hill. OBJ is their third receiver. You got Tua. You got Devon Achane. And on defense, I know you lost Wilkins, but you'll get Chubb back eventually from the injury. You got Jalen Phillips back eventually from the injury. You have Jalen. Like, they got talent there. And right, it's not like Stu saying, hey, they got to go win a Super Bowl. They got to win a playoff game. And I said to them, I think it's more likely that they miss the playoffs rather than get to an AFC championship game this year. Because I think they could win one playoff game, but it's like, then they get into the second round. If they're going up against the Chiefs, if they're going up against the Bengals, if they're going up against the Bills, even the Texans, I don't really love their chances. So that's the way that I operated that. But Dolphins are a good one. They're definitely under pressure.
NFC, I'll go with the Falcons. You spend a new offseason. You bring in Kirk Cousins, the veteran quarterback you need.
You drafted
a quarterback. So that pick looks bad if you are, let's say, one game out of a playoff spot where they could have drafted someone that was an immediate need. I don't know. You're in the easiest division in football. They have a really good chance to make the playoffs.
Well, it's the same thing as the Saints last year.
Yeah.
Like the Saints, anything short of winning a division championship, you can't spin it. That's why when Mickey Loomis tried to do that when they went 9-8, it's like, okay, what the heck are you doing? Like, come on. It's you got to win the division. The Falcons are the pick to win the division this year. I absolutely. And also, let's add in the Belichick. Belichick wanted that job. And then Arthur Blank was talked out of it. So it would be a really bad look, but I do think they're going to win that division this year. Could you imagine they don't, though? Like, last year, I thought it was I expected the Saints not to win that division because Derek Carr's a quarterback. Kirk Cousins, don't get me wrong, not a Hall of Famer, but he's a good quarterback. He's a reliable quarterback. And if they can't win this division this year, geez, that is problematic. All righty, good stuff there. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will come on back with a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, extra, extra, extra news brief time. Here is Kyle Shanahan on the Brandon Ayuk situation.
It's been at this point for a little bit, so it's nothing really new to me. I mean, you're always disappointed when you can't keep a hold of all your players or it's not going exactly right. I mean, I don't like losing anybody, so that's why I'm hoping it does work out here. But right now, we don't have that solved yet, so I hope it does.
I don't know, Stu. The first 5 seconds of that, it seemed like he was basically talking as if Brandon Ayuk, it was signed, sealed, and delivered that he was going to get traded.
I was going to say, if someone just listening, it just turned on the radio as soon as that cut, they're like, oh, he must have gotten traded today. Nope. Not yet. It seems like it, but not yet.
I saw McCaffrey gave an interview yesterday, and he talked about Ayuk in the past tense, which is like also like another thing. Like, I think everyone in there is just saying, okay, I think we know where this is heading to, that he's going to get dealt. But the report that I want to know, is it true or not? Like, let's get Kyle Shanahan in studio, shoot him up a truth serum, because this report from the San Francisco Chronicle, Shanahan is willing to move on from Ayuk because he is bothered by the 26-year-old's behavior, including his recent bro hug with the coach. The bro hug is what pushed you over the edge? Ugh, what are we doing? Here is Kyle Shanahan on the latest with Christian McCaffrey, as he's going to be out for a little bit.
Christian has a calf strain. Did a couple days ago. That's all right. You know, he didn't pull it or anything, but you guys probably won't see him this preseason.
I don't see why you would play Christian McCaffrey. I don't think Christian McCaffrey needs the preseason to get ready for the season. You just have to basically wrap him up in bubble wrap, you know, even during the season. You just need him for the playoffs. That's when you need Christian McCaffrey, because even though I don't think he should have been ranked in front of Patrick Mahomes in the top 100 list, he's one of the better offensive players in the league. He's the best running back in the league, and he's more than just a running back. All right, let's go to Chris Carter. I've been seeing this headline all throughout the day. I purposely did not listen to it because I wanted to hear the story on the air for the first time, even though I knew what the story was about, but I don't know how they got there. Here is Chris Carter on the Fully Loaded podcast. He told a story about almost punching Skip Bayless in the face.
I come on there on a Monday, and, you know, we're trading barbs and everything. We go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then I just level set it and was like, listen, if throwing the football is important in the NFL, Tim Tebow will never be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So he got defensive, and then he came back and said, well, that's why you didn't win a Super Bowl, which got nothing to do with nothing.
Agreed.
We went to commercial break. I took my earpiece out and I told him, I'll never be on your show again. Yeah. And if you ever say anything like that to me again, I'll punch you right in the face.
Good for you.
I don't know. Is that a bit of an overreaction? Like, how many times, right, have you heard shows? And I don't remember the tone that it was said. I don't remember the conversation, to be fair. I'm not someone that watches Skip Bayless a lot. But how many times you, like, had a show on where there's an ex-athlete and the host just, like, makes a jab at the ex-athlete for not winning a Super Bowl? Like, Greg Giannotti and Craig Carton, when they work at Boomer Esiason, that happens all the time. So you took a shot at a quarterback, and that's why Chris Carter got so sensitive? Like, to say you're going to punch him in the face over that, Stu? I hate to give Skip Bayless the benefit of the doubt, because that's idiotic to do with all the dumb things he said on television. But I don't know if that elicits a response of, dude, I'm going to punch you in the face.
No, punch in the face is like, if
you're talking
Skip
about
said
someone's family.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Not, oh,
and
you
not Brian
didn't win the Super
Kelly's
Bowl.
LSU
Ha-ha.
Family. Like, I'm talking about actual family.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I do agree with you. I think Carter is overreacting a bit here. Or overreacted, I should say.
Yeah, do me a favor. Play that for me one more time. I got to hear it again.
I come on there on a Monday, and, you know, we're trading barbs and everything. We go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then I just level set it and was like, listen, if throwing the football is important in the NFL, Tim Tebow will never be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Not wrong.
He got defensive, and then he came back and said, well, that's why you didn't win a Super Bowl. Which got nothing to do with nothing.
Agreed.
We went to commercial break. I took my earpiece out, and I told him, I'll never be on your show again. Yeah. And if you ever say anything like that to me again, I'll punch you right in the face.
Good for you.
Well, if it's got nothing to do with nothing, then why are you so obsessed and, like, annoyed? You think Chris Carter, by the way, Stu, has a fall guy if he was to punch Skip Bayless in the face?
That's right. Someone else who works there.
I'm just saying. Just
be
saying.
Be a producer's fault.
So we read this Athlon Sports story the other day about Coach Prime Deion Sanders, and it called into question the locker room, and it, like, compared it to Grand Theft Auto, which Vice City, by the way, is my favorite video game growing up as a kid. And it talked about, like, a gun problem in the locker room and a few other stories about, like, bullying. Like, some things you read in the story and you're like, eh, that's, like, kind of football. Other things you're like, okay, if that's true, it's a big deal. And I highlighted yesterday, like, who's Steve Corder? Who is the writer? And just because I don't know your name doesn't mean the stuff can't be true. But when I went to his social media, I think it was, like, his Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, one of them linked to, like, a woman's profile and the other linked to, like, a parody account. So I'm like, I can't take any of that serious if I can't get any information on this guy. Well, this guy is not a catfish reporter. He actually does exist. And he made an appearance today on the Dan Le Batard show, where I will say, when I was watching this, because I watched the entire thing, it was like 10 minutes. It was very boring. It was like typical, like, traditional reporter. But he even looks fake on the Zoom. Like, it looks like a hologram or something like that. But here's Steve Corder on the Dan Le Batard show on the gun culture in Deion's Colorado program.
It's rampant there. There's a video that's circulating that I actually found after the piece, where they're asking, I believe it's Bucky, is going around asking who's the most strapped on the team. And people are giving their opinions. It's not just one person. It's multiple people. I found a video also last night of Travis Hunter and Deion fishing, and there's a gun in plain sight while he's fishing. So it seems like it's just part of the culture.
And let me give you one more. Here is Steve Corder on the most outlandish story in this, all of his reporting about Colorado football, on the Dan Le Batard show.
What do you think were the most outlandish details in your report?
The incident between Washington and Jordan Seaton. Basically, Jordan was asked to show his manhood, and him and Washington got into a fight. There's a picture that is of Seaton that was taken, I believe, 2 days later, that he's obviously bruised. His lip looks busted. And again, this came to me after after the fact, after the story came out. You know, like I said, I understand hazing. I understand things go on in a locker room, but it seems like it's just a little too much that's going on that need to be reported on.
So I don't even know how to react to this stuff because I don't know what's true and what's false, and I still don't know much about the reporter. It's the same reporter that had the story that, like, Coach Prime forced everyone to go to, like, the rap show that Shador was opening up for Lil Wayne. So obviously this guy has a source or sources from other places. In the interview, he said more and more information has come to him after he released the article, and he says it's worse. So Deion has denied it. So it's a he said, he said type of situation. Framber Valdez was an out away from pitching his second no-hitter in his career. He had one last summer in August. And Corey Seager, who's on my fantasy team, so I appreciate the support, he broke up the no-no with two outs in the ninth. This courtesy of Bally Sports.
Runner goes, and there's a swing and a high fly ball deep out to right. McCormick is back. It's gone. There goes the no-hitter, and the Rangers are off the mat. It's 4-2.
So there you go, the no-no broken up. Also, breaking news. Well, it's not really breaking news. It happened last night, but big news. The White Sox actually won a game. They snapped their 21-game losing streak. Here is NBC Sports Chicago.
Everybody deserves a win after this streak.
This could do it. Out to left field coming in. Benintendi. And the streak is over. After 21 L's in a row, the White Sox come to the West Coast and get their first win in a long time. Say it with me. Southside, stand up.
Ack, what are you shaking your head about? You don't like the play-by-play guy.
I don't like the call. No comment.
Is that guy, John?
Schriffen?
Schriffen.
Sounds like him.
Yeah, he's been getting shredded a lot this year. You've seen. Well, I was gonna ask you about the broadcaster, but I just saw that you were not happy.
I just didn't like. I don't like a lot of cliches. The L's.
Yeah.
You know.
It also, you're making it sound like you won the World Series when you.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got to be excited, and it's the hometown call, and you know, look, they just snapped a 21 game losing streak, so you got to be happy. But it just, I don't know. It just seems
like you're like
seems forced.
Yes, it seems like every fourth word you're just trying to be like cheesy announcer.
Yeah.
Like, alrighty, here we go, 21 game win streak, losing streak.
It's almost
is
like
over.
You're trying to be friendly with somebody who does not want to be friends with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that make any sense?
Sure. So. You say you don't want to be friends with me?
No, actually, I get that all the time from people. No, we don't want to be friends with you.
But come on, I'm really a great time.
Exactly. You know, and you're kind of like reinforcing that. That's what it felt like.
The announcer voice is a little bit too much for me there. It almost sounds fake. But what I want to ask you, you've seen a lot of bad teams. Is this the worst team you've ever seen?
It's right there. I can't, you know, the 88 Orioles were bad. But this is like another level bad.
28-88.
It also just seems like there's
it's August. They don't have 30 wins.
Like when the Orioles were bad a couple of years ago, at least they started building prospects in the system. Now this team, it seems like they're just stuck in an abyss and have nowhere to go.
There's no hope.
Yeah.
The only hope is that the season's almost ended.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I would say probably the two teams that come to mind are the Browns and the Lions, who both went winless in the NFL season.
Yeah.
But like this is like the equivalent of not getting a win in a season.
But at least the Lions, when it happened, had Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford coming. The Browns, I don't remember who they. I don't think they had much hope. That was Baker Mayfield, correct? When they were winning.
Well, they eventually got Baker Mayfield.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But you know, the it's like, where are the White Sox going? They've been trying to contend for several years now, and it just keeps getting worse.
If I had to kind of describe the White Sox season just based off headlines, it's Ozzie Guillen shredding the team on the post game. It's the play-by-play announcer. What's his name again, John?
Schriffen.
Just getting into fights with the guys at 670 the score.
Yeah.
And then the team just always loses. Those are the three things
this
season that encapsulates what they've done.
Yeah, so. I mean, well, I don't know what more to add.
They suck.
They're just bad.
They're putrid. As Charles Barkley would say, they're terrible.
There's bad, and there's lovable bad, and then there's this. And this is, there's nothing lovable about
it. Yeah, this is like when you're a kid, and your mom's like, here's broccoli.
Yeah.
No kid wants to eat the broccoli. Oh, okay, you don't want broccoli? Here's some spinach.
Exactly.
It's like, all right, when are you going to get to the good stuff?
Yeah.
Come on, Mom. What are we doing? All righty, we will take our final break of the day. We'll come on back. The NCAA has handed down maybe the most pointless suspension ever. We'll get to it on the other side. Update time first, though, the Ackman reject.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Christy Pierce-Rampone here, former member of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team and three-time gold medalist, two-time World Cup champion, and part of the 99 team that won the Women's World Cup, igniting passion for soccer everywhere. And like Amazon Prime, I'm a lot of things beyond what I'm best known for. I'm a girl mom to two teenagers, a dog mom too, an entrepreneur, a TV commentator, and I use my Prime membership pretty much every day for so many things. I am known for being quick and crafty on the soccer field, and I am definitely crafty at home, especially digging in with the girls' school projects. And I rely on Amazon Prime to have what we need and get it to us with the speed I am used to. With every change of season, I love to decorate our home. And where do I get ideas and the goods? Prime, of course. Not to mention with all the great streaming options, it's a total gold medal experience. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into. That's amazon.com/prime.